You know, it's funny, isn't it? Like, the word narcissist, it's everywhere these days.
It really is.
Every time you turn around, somebody's calling somebody else a narcissist. Makes you wonder if, like, have we lost the plot a little bit? It's almost like it's become, like, the ultimate insult. But when a word gets thrown around that much, it's like, does it even mean anything anymore? You know what I mean?
Right. I think it speaks to this this tendency we have to kind of oversimplify things, you know,
Totally.
especially when it comes to like complex psychological concepts and narcissism. You know, it's definitely up there on the complexity scale.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
So that's what we're diving into today, a deep dive on narcissism. And we're actually really lucky. We have an article here from Dr. Brad Brenner, a psychologist. He's with the Therapy Group of DC. And the article is called Misunderstood Aspects of Narcissism, which I love that title.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Because I feel like there's a lot that is misunderstood about it. And one of the things that Dr. Brenner talks about in this article is how much our understanding of narcissism has changed over time. I mean, it used to be like a much more simple idea,
Yeah,
right?
it really did.
It was just like, oh, you're in love with yourself. You just like can't stop looking in the mirror.
Right. It was all very much about that kind of surface level self-obsession and attention seeking, you know? Like very much rooted in that kind of almost cartoonish idea of like the myth of Narcissus.
Exactly. And it's interesting how that's evolved because, I mean, it makes you think even psychology, which is supposed to be about understanding the human mind, even they get things wrong sometimes, right?
Totally. Like, it's a science, and like any science, it evolves. Our understanding grows, you know? We learn from our mistakes, hopefully.
Fingers crossed, right?
Yeah. But I think a really key turning point in how we understand narcissism was when narcissistic personality disorder was actually officially included in the DSM,
Oh, wow.
the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, you know. And this happened back in 1980.
Okay. So it went from being this like kind of vague idea to like an actual recognized personality disorder.
Exactly. And that recognition, it really paved the way for a lot more research, a much deeper understanding of the condition, and I think really importantly, the realization that narcissism isn't just this kind of like yes or no thing. It's not like you either have it or you don't. There's a spectrum.
Okay, now this spectrum idea, this I got to hear more about because I'll be honest, I always picture it as like pretty black and white. You're either like, on the narcissism train or you weren't. So what does it actually look like, this spectrum?
It's a lot more, I guess you could say, nuanced than that. You know, when we think about narcissism, we often jump right to those, you know, negative traits. The vanity, the self-centeredness, the lack of empathy, all that stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, not exactly qualities you look for in a friend or a partner.
Right.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. What if I told you there's such a thing as healthy narcissism?
Okay, now you're just messing with me. Healthy narcissism. Come on. How can something that's like, by definition, kind of about being, overinflated and egotistical,
Right.
how can that possibly be healthy?
Well, think about it this way. We all know those people who just seem to have this unshakable confidence. They're ambitious, driven to succeed, but not in a way that's like cutthroat or off-putting. It's more like they just genuinely believe in themselves and their abilities. And that belief, that healthy dose of self-confidence, it can actually be a really powerful motivator.
I see where you're going with this. So it's like there's a difference between, say, being confident in your work and wanting to do a good job and, needing to be the absolute center of attention all the time.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Dr. Brenner, in the article, he talks about how this healthy narcissism, it's really rooted in having a positive self-image. You know, believing in your own capabilities, feeling intrinsically worthy. And these are all, you know, pretty essential ingredients for a fulfilling life, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. So I guess the question is like, where's that tipping point? Where does that healthy self-belief and drive tip over into, the unhealthy narcissism that we all kind of, cringe at?
Right. That's a good question, and it's definitely a spectrum. But I think one of the key things is when those narcissistic tendencies start to really negatively impact relationships, careers, even someone's own mental health.
Like, and it starts to become destructive, basically.
Exactly. We're talking extreme grandiosity, a complete lack of empathy, that insatiable need for admiration. Those are some red flags.
Yeah, those are the folks who leave a trail of like broken relationships and like awkward work situations in their wake.
Right. It's exhausting just thinking about it, isn't it? And, you know, it's not just about the impact on other people. Think about how draining it must be for the person with these tendencies.
That's a good point.
To constantly be seeking validation from external sources.
Yeah.
It becomes this never-ending cycle. And it prevents them from actually doing the work to address, you know, the root
yeah.
of those insecurities.
That's a really good point that I honestly hadn't even considered, that it's probably just as exhausting, if not more, for them.
Yeah.
So Dr. Brenner, he talked about these different expressions of narcissism. He uses the terms primary and secondary. What's the difference there?
Okay, so primary expressions, that's kind of what we typically think of, right?
Right.
The classic narcissist. Grandiosity, a sense of entitlement, that constant need to be admired. They genuinely believe they are, you know, superior to others.
Right.
But here's the thing, and this is what I found really interesting, sorry. Dr. Brenner suggests that these really outward displays of grandiosity, they often stem from a place of deep insecurity.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so counterintuitive.
It is. It's like this weird paradox. They're overcompensating for a lack of, like, genuine self-worth.
Wow.
So it's not really about self-love at all. It's more like insecurity in disguise.
Fascinating. And then the secondary expressions, that's different.
Yeah. So secondary expressions are more about those defense mechanisms.
Okay.
Things like excessive self-promotion or creating these elaborate fantasies about their achievements or even putting others down to make themselves feel superior.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about protecting that fragile ego from any kind of perceived threat.
So less about actually being superior and more about just making sure nobody else sees them as inferior.
Exactly.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, it makes you wonder, like, and this is just me kind of going off on a tangent here, but
yeah.
Do you think the internet, like social media, all that, has it made these secondary expressions worse?
Oh, that's such a good point. I mean, you think about it, the constant pressure to present this, like, perfectly curated version of yourself online.
Right. It's like the perfect breeding ground for those tendencies, you know, to compare yourself to others, to be seeking validation through likes and comments.
Yeah. It's like this weird feedback loop.
It is.
That just kind of reinforces those tendencies.
Yeah.
It's like, how much of this is, like, hardwired, you know?
Yeah.
Versus, like, how much of it's learned?
Yeah.
It makes you think about, like, culture and upbringing and all of that, right?
Absolutely.
Because what's considered narcissistic, like, one culture might be totally different in another.
Right. 100%. In fact, Dr. Brenner, he talks about this in the article.
Okay.
He makes this really interesting distinction between individualistic cultures and collectivist cultures.
Right, because those are going to have totally different values and norms and all of that.
Exactly. So, like, in individualistic cultures, think, like, the U.S.
Okay.
The emphasis is all about individual achievement, self-reliance, standing out from the crowd, you know, like, be your own boss, all that jazz.
Right, right, right. Gotta love that American individualism. Exactly. And in those cultures, traits like being assertive, self-promotion, even a healthy dose of competition, those are seen as positive things.
Makes sense.
Especially in, like, you know, certain fields,
yeah,
like business or, you know, leadership positions.
Right. Like, those are seen as assets in those contexts.
Exactly. But then you look at collectivist cultures.
Yeah.
The ones that are more about group harmony,
yeah,
and putting the community's needs first, you know.
Right.
In those cultures, that kind of, like, overt narcissism, the bragging, the needing to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
That's not going to fly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's seen as, like, almost a threat.
Interesting. So it's not that those tendencies aren't there. It's just that they might express themselves differently.
You got it.
Okay.
Dr. Brenner, he suggests that, like, in those cultures, it might come out as more passive aggression.
Oh, interesting.
Or, like, this preoccupation with shame and social status.
Okay.
Or even, like, this intense pressure to conform. Even if it means, like, suppressing your own needs.
It's like human nature finds a way.
Right.
It's fascinating.
It's like those underlying tendencies, they're always going to be there. It's just a matter of how they manifest, I guess.
Exactly. And that's why, like, for a therapist, for example, it's so important to be aware of this stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally. You can't just, like, have a one-size-fits-all approach to this stuff.
It's
way too nuanced, like we've been saying.
Yeah. Context is everything.
So, okay, we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah.
If we had to, like, sum it all up, I think the big takeaway for me is narcissism, it's not as simple as we often make it out to be.
Totally agree. It's not about, like, labeling people.
Right.
It's about understanding the spectrum, the different ways it can show up, the motivations behind it.
And realizing that, like, sometimes what looks like narcissism on the surface It might actually be coming from a place of like deep insecurity or a need for validation.
Exactly. And I think when we can start to see those nuances
Yeah.
in ourselves and in others, it allows us to approach these things with a lot more empathy and understanding. Totally. It's like choosing curiosity over judgment, right?
Yes.
Like trying to understand the why behind the behavior.
Beautifully said.
Well, on that note, I think we're going to have to leave it there for today. But wow, what a deep dive this has been.
It really has.
We've gone from like ancient myths to modern day social media. And it just goes to show you narcissism, it's a topic that's not going away anytime soon. And with that, big thanks to our listeners for joining us on this journey. We'll catch you next time for another deep dive.